This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A lot of stuff going on in the NFL. We are into the offseason now. Combine will be here soon enough. Draft, everything else. And the coaching carousel went a little further into the offseason than it normally did, thanks to Josh McDaniels earlier this week. To get into that, some cleanup from the Super Bowl. I want to talk a little Hall of Fame as well. Nobody better to bring on to talk all that stuff than my good friend. He has covered the NFL for over 40 years for the Houston Chronicle. He joins me on the program right now. You can get him on Twitter at @McClain_on_NFL. John McClain joining me on CBS Sports Radio. John, how are we doing tonight?
I'm great, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to have you on the show, as always, John.
Thank you.
Let's start with the news of today and work backwards. So the Indianapolis Colts have found a head coach in Frank Reich. Given the embarrassment of what happened earlier this week with Josh McDaniels, how do you think the Colts did?
I think they did great, even though Reich is a dirty word in Houston because he led the Bills to the greatest comeback victory in NFL history over the Oilers on January 3rd of 1993. I'm happy for Frank. He paid his dues as assistant coach. Colts got the winning offensive coordinator who beat the offensive coordinator who duped them. They know Frank well because he was in the organization for, I think, 6 years as an assistant coach. So I think that worked out very, very well. Now, the Eagles have lost their quarterback coach and their offensive coordinator. It's a good thing Doug Peterson calls the plays, but that's got to be a blow to their offense. But I'm really happy for the Colts that they were able to come out of this the way they did. Chris Ballard handled it with a lot more class than Josh McDaniels did. I think we all believe that McDaniels will replace Bill Belichick whenever Bill hangs up his whistle, and I do not believe that will be anytime soon. But it settled very nicely for Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard.
John, over to the McDaniels side of this thing for a second. You know, and I guess you're right. Like, if he's been promised the New England job, then I guess, you know, to each his own. But McDaniels is still a young guy. Like, it seemed like an awfully short-sighted move. You know, because there's no guarantee things are going to work out once he's the head coach in New England. I guess just your thoughts on Josh McDaniels and how he handled this whole thing this week?
He's 41 years old. His agent, Bob Lamont, who's one of the best in the business, fired him because Bob had given his word to another client, Chris Ballard, the GM of the Colts. Now, when Josh McDaniels went back to clean out his office and Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick talked to him, I would imagine somewhere in there he talked to Tom Brady. They're good friends. They've made beautiful music together for years. Brady shows no signs of letting up at 40 next year. Who would think for a second that at 41 he would start to deteriorate based on what we've seen this season and especially in the Super Bowl? So maybe family had something to do with it, but there's no way, and I guess maybe because of the Rooney Rule they can't say anything, but I think just about everybody believes, Sean, whenever Bill Belichick walks away, Josh McDaniels will be the next head coach, because I do not see Josh getting a job somewhere else.
And just to circle back to the Colts for a second, John, Frank Reich taking over there. How good is that job right now, and how much of the quality of that job is tied to Andrew Luck's right shoulder?
Here's why it's good. Chris Ballard, when Chris was a scout and then he went into personnel departments, he was very highly respected along the way. He turned down chances to interview for general manager's job, waiting for just right thing come along. And so he goes to Indy, and it'd be a better job, of course, if Andrew Luck comes back 100%. They can say they expect him to, but nobody knows if he will until they see it. Now, they've got a high number one pick. I think it would be so interesting if they shocked the NFL and took a quarterback. I don't know that they will. Maybe if Luck's okay, they trade down from there and pick up more picks. But I think the Colts, while Even though they swept the Texans this year, it was probably more because of Texans' injuries than it was because the Colts were better than them. But I think going into next season, Colts will probably be picked last in the division. But if Andrew Luck comes back, they're just as capable of winning that division as any of the other teams.
Yeah, what a bombshell that would be if the Colts, with the third or fourth pick, whichever pick they have, if they drafted a quarterback. John McClain joining me here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, John, let's go back to the Super Bowl then. Bill Belichick choosing to leave Malcolm Butler on the sidelines of that game. Do you buy into the theory that leaving Malcolm Butler on the sidelines may have cost them this Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, the way Nick Foles shredded that secondary. And if indeed it was strategic, and most people don't believe it, they think there's more to it, more sinister, violation of rules. But if indeed it was that he was ill and he had a bad week of practice and they did it for strategic purposes, it'll go down to one of the worst coaching decisions in Super Bowl history, because they lost a close game because they couldn't stop Nick Foles passing and receiving. And I think when Butler, he'll sign a lucrative contract with another team and he'll have a big chip on his shoulder because he will want to prove that he did not deserve that. He's better than that. And it's too bad that that ended the way it did, but I don't think ultimately it's going to cost him money.
Okay, well, I'm curious your thoughts, John, on the Patriots side of this thing as we head into the offseason, and more so as we head into next season, because the Patriots are no stranger to drama in the offseason or heading into a season, you know, Spygate and Deflategate a couple years ago. Like, they're used to operating in sort of an ecosystem where chaos and kind of conflict rule the day, but usually they're all on the same side. Usually it's the Patriots against the world. This is the first time we go in with rumors of, hey, Belichick fractured the locker room. There was all the stuff from the Wickersham article, the ESPN.com. Is this the beginning of the end? So in so much as this type of drama heading into a season for the Patriots appears to be where the battle lines are being drawn internally as opposed to externally.
Well, first of all, I don't believe any of that. I think when Kraft and Belichick have been together long enough, and Brady, keeping mm-hmm. Josh McDaniels, kept their special teams coach. He was taking a couple of coaches where they didn't have to replace like six. And I think this will make them more determined than ever. They're great at circling the wagons. And as long as Brady is playing well, and he played great in the Super Bowl, played terrifically this season, I think it will make Belichick and Brady and Kraft ultimately more determined to come back and win a Super Bowl. And I don't think the fracture or all the reports about division in the locker room, Bill Belichick can handle that. He's handled worse.
John McClain joining me on CBS Sports Radio. On the other side of that Super Bowl, John, the Eagles, have you ever seen a coach whose star went from, hey, this guy shouldn't even have this job, to, hey, this guy stood in and outcoached Bill Belichick in a Super Bowl, he's the next big thing, than Doug Peterson?
Some days you're the bug, some days you're the windshield. And in this case, Doug Peterson was the windshield because everything he tried, except a couple of two-point conversions, worked. The fourth at one at his own 45 with 5:39 to get two. If that had backfired, they'd be running him out of Philadelphia. The pass to Foles, if that had been incomplete, then the Patriots would have had the ball on the one-yard line and had to go 99. That would have been easier to understand. But as it was, he was aggressive. He was bold. He's getting all the credit he deserves. And I think that's great for Doug Peterson, because everything I've ever heard about Peterson, going back when he was a backup quarterback, has been good about what kind of guy he is. Now he's a toast to Philadelphia, and good for him.
John, you're part of the Hall of Fame committee, the class that was selected. This is one of the more intriguing classes, not just the five conventional candidates going in, but obviously the two veterans committee candidates, Robert Brazil and Jerry Kramer, very popular players, and Bobby Bethard going in as well. Can you do your best to take us inside the room and what the more intriguing discussions were as you guys were putting that class together?
Well, first of all, the one I was most interested in was former Oilers linebacker Robert Brazil, because I presented him, and it was the first one of the day at 7 a.m. And when I finished my presentation, nobody said a word, and I don't know that that's ever happened. Turned out it was a good thing, but the longest was T.O. at the end of the day, and because of the NFL Honors Show, we got to be done by 3, so we got in at 6:15 a.m., left at 3:15. There was a lot of discussion of most players. Ray Lewis didn't require anything because he was the lock. I was glad to see Brian Dawkins get in because, number one, he deserved it, but number two, because the Eagles were in the Super Bowl. And I'm glad that we put Randy Moss in on the first ballot because he deserved it. I did not think T.O. deserved to go in on the first ballot. To me, the first ballot, you got to be right up there with Jerry Rice. And Randy Moss, and I've been covering the league since 77, and I've been watching it since I can remember, since 1960. Randy Moss is the second best receiver I've ever seen because of his impact on defenses. And I never thought T.O. had that impact, but I'm glad T.O. got in. Michael Irvin, Chris Carter, those guys waited, so I was glad they got in. Brian Urlacher made it. I thought he might have to wait a year or two. I was hoping we'd get an offensive lineman in, like especially Tony Bozzelli, Alan Faneca, Kevin Mawai. We had five. I guess the votes canceled each other out. There was a lot. Wow. As I told people on the committee afterward, I've been on that committee now, I think, 24 years. I sat in for our previous voter from Houston, Mickey Herskowitz, a few times before that. That was the best debate and discussions and presentations I've ever seen from top to bottom. And, Sean, it was hard to reduce those 15 modern era finalists from 15 to 10 and 10 to 5. And then when it gets to 5, you vote yes or no. I always vote yes on those last 5. And I felt terrible for the ones that didn't make it. But when they don't make it, it's not because we don't think you don't deserve it, Sean. It's because of the competition. It is fierce.
Yeah, the names get bigger every year. It's unbelievable. Hey, John, we got about a minute to go. I want to get your thoughts. I laid out the story for the audience of the Ron Borges situation with the hoax, the Tom Brady story, the fake Don Yee that texted him, a story that Ron ran with, and it wound up on the Herald website for a brief time. As a fellow writer, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I've known Ron Borges since the late 70s. He's one of the best, most respected writers I know, respected on the Hall of Fame committee, Hall of Fame seniors committee. He got duped. It wasn't malicious. So many people are taking pride almost and joy. It may be costing him his job. I know he feels awful. I hope it doesn't cost him his job. And what kind of person would do that to somebody? That's what gets me. The jerk who did that to Ron Borges, that's the guy that ought to be getting roasted because he could affect a family, a guy's career. It's awful.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you, John. Like, Ron, you know, Ron needed to do a better job on his end, no
yes,
question.
He should have done better, but in the haste to be first, is too bad. That's the way it is today. Everybody wants to be first. He got duped, and I feel awful for him because I'm there for the grace of God, go I.
Yeah, no, no question. The person on the other end of that thing is just a mean person. I don't know any other way to put it. Just a mean person.
And I don't know why you would take satisfaction from something like that.
Yeah, and other people who are like climbing on, who are other media members who seem to be satisfied with it. It's pretty disgusting. It really is. All right, John McClain, joining me here on CBS Sports Radio. You can get him at McClain_on_NFL. John, you're the best. I appreciate it. Great info. Thank you.
Sean, thank you very much. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.